Hi, welcome to this segment of Daily Bread with Jam, a podcast by the Holy Spirit You channel. We are a Whosoever Will channel, so regardless of where you are in your walk of faith, if you're trying to understand, get a hang of it, if you don't know if you're there yet, if you're there but just need some pointers, trying to get encouragement, we welcome you. I want to say that we need to be encouraging one another in this walk. And as the Lord says, you can't always look for people to encourage you. You have to learn to encourage yourself. But ideally, we are to be helping each other through this process, not diminishing each other, not degrading each other, not destroying each other. We are supposed to be edifying. We are supposed to be building up. We are supposed to be doing those things necessary based on the experiences that we've had, good and bad, that will help others, or potentially that they can consider, better said, that they can consider as they face certain things in their process with the Lord. So I welcome you. Thank you for being here. I bless your time. I bless your day, and ask the Lord to continue to bless you so that you can be a blessing. All of that being said, let's get right into it. Today, I'm talking about grace. And I don't know if this is the only one. I don't know if there's going to be a series. Generally, I don't know those things until after. Because sometimes what I think is going to be a series is not a series. And sometimes what I think isn't going to be a series turns out to be a series. So we will see and see what the Lord shall do. But at any rate, grace. Grace. We say grace, and you would call it, you know, when we pray over our food, we call it saying grace. Paul said grace is not a license to sin, which is more the direction I'm going to go this morning. We ask for grace for different reasons, but we're going to talk about why many times that is a misguided concept. So let's talk about some basics. In order to talk about grace, and again, this is continuing in the series, pivoting out of cursing into blessing. In order to do that, and in order to commit to it, in order to embrace it, in order to be disciplined in it, we have to understand basic spiritual principles. The principles exist whether we understand them or not. And many times what trips us up is the fact that we think that the principles can be manipulated like people can be manipulated. But the principles of God cannot be manipulated. God, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Therefore, understand that whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. Generally, where we come from, particularly in challenging situations, we think that whatsoever they sow, they're going to reap, without consideration for the fact that the farmer, the person that reaps the harvest, generally speaking, is the farmer. The farmer sows their own seed. Likewise, as seed sowers in the kingdom, with God being the ultimate seed sower in and through Jesus Christ, right? A seed cannot become what it's supposed to be. A seed cannot develop and grow and produce the harvest unless it first falls into the ground and dies. So all of that, which is what Jesus did, so God is the ultimate seed sower. We are considered the harvest. At the same time being the harvest, we also then, in Christ, by the power of Holy Spirit, become farmers in the kingdom, seed sowers in the kingdom, because the seed of God is working through us by the Spirit to sow seeds in other people's lives, seeds of life and love and all of those things that I often say on this podcast. So to really understand grace, and I'm trying to convey it the way Holy Spirit showed it to me many years ago, because I didn't understand. I could not grasp what is grace. You know, all my life at that point, when we go to eat, you say grace. So what is this thing called grace? I think I know what it is. We've been saying it over dinner or breakfast or lunch. So we have this notion that we can take a word, a concept, a principle, and make it work for us rather than working in the principle. Let me say that again. We want to take a principle and make it work for us rather than working in the principle. I didn't say working the principle. I didn't say manipulating. I didn't say making it work for us. We want to sidestep discipline and obedience in favor of manipulation and convenience. Not all. Not all of us. One, we all do it at some point because that's part of the process. That's what helps us learn. Because if we don't do those things, if we don't make those kinds of mistakes, then God can't show us. He can't straighten that crooked place. So when we talk about, and before I can talk about grace, we have to talk about judgment. Why? Because it's a spiritual principle. The Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. If judgment didn't exist, there would be no need for mercy. If judgment did not exist, there would be no need for mercy. God is an absolute being, and absolute meaning he is light, he is love, he is all of the best of that. He cannot be in the presence of sin without destroying it. Let me put it in those terms, because for me to go into it another way is going to take more than what I'm supposed to share today. I'm supposed to be talking about grace, but I have to lay this foundation. What I want to encourage and challenge you to do is to ask Holy Spirit yourself, read the Bible, because a lot of things in the Bible we don't understand, but we don't understand it because we haven't taken the time to really understand God. We're trying to get outcomes. We're trying to get certain outcomes, but we don't understand the process and why the process goes the way it does. But that's not really for us to understand. That's why we have faith. Faith causes us, or is what we use, to believe that God is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So by nature, he cannot be in the presence of sin without, his nature is pure. Right, so where there is impurity, his nature destroys that. Not because he's after destroying people and destruction of people. Understand that. And if your heart isn't in the right place, that's not going to hit you right. I can promise you right now. If you are truly seeking to understand God and why things happen the way they do, you'll get it at some point. If you don't want to understand it, then nothing I can say or anybody else can say is going to help you with that. So just, I know that. It doesn't change the fact that God is after purity. And one day he'll have me talk about gold. You shall come out as pure gold. We come into the world as an amalgamation. The goal is by faith we come out as pure gold. So he has a fiery nature. That's better. He has a fiery nature. His nature is to purify. So when he faces by nature impurity, because his nature is pure, will bring the type of fire, whether it's actual fire or we're called living sacrifices. That's a spiritual fire. We should be burning off the impurity of the flesh. Okay? So there is judgment. Not because God has decided, well, I'm going to judge you. He judged sin. Not people. He judged sin. Seriously in need of healing. Make my crooked places straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. All of those things talk about this principle of the impure becoming pure. Of God's nature, in order for light to flow, there has to be purity. In order for love to flow, there has to be purity. And all of these other things. No one wants to drink from a dirty river. Many people do and have to. But ideally, we want that water to be crystal clear. So by nature, God is this loving, he encompasses and embodies all of these things, but he's without impurity. So in the scripture, when it says there's no shadow of turning, he's without impurity. We don't understand absolute because we don't have, we're not capable of understanding it. We're not capable. And so we, what we do is we bring things down to our level, so to speak, to manage them and to manipulate them to work for us rather than understanding that there's someone much higher and greater than we are at work. And rather than pushing in, or as we like to say, leaning in to that, we prefer to continue to devolve into the other. So judgment exists, period. The need for mercy exists because of God's nature of seeking impurity. I mean, seeking to purify the impure. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. And he shall purify. The purification process, consecration, all of that is about us, about God's nature, about his desire. But it's also a guide for us understanding there's no flesh shall glory in his presence. All of those things throughout scripture speak to this principle that I'm talking about right now, about the nature of God. That's not an in-depth study. That's just off the cuff. But read it for yourself. Seek God in earnest, and he'll reveal it to you in the way that you need to see it. But the principle does not change. So judgment exists. Then he says mercy triumphs over judgment. He never says that judgment goes away. He never says that we will not be held accountable. The Bible, when I say he, I'm talking about the Bible, but I'm also talking about the Spirit of God. I'm also saying Jesus Christ. None of the Godhead, Father in creation, Son in manifestation and demonstration, and Holy Spirit in transformation, none, no member of the Godhead ever say that judgment goes away. What he says is, in various ways, again, I'm not going to go into all of those right now, in various ways, once again, he says, I've judged sin. But you, my beloved, were born into that. You were born into a nature, human nature, brought about by the disobedience of the original or the first humans, Adam and Eve, brought about by them, in such a way that spiritual genealogy has conveyed to you. So when you're born, you come in with it. That's a principle. That's not a certain person. That's not because you're this or because you look like that or did this or thought that. That is the principle. So we are born into that. And just a little bit of a hint, that's why he says you have to be born again. So there was the natural birth, the physical or natural genealogy, the spiritual, I mean, the natural reproductive process that gets us into, that manifests us as human beings. He says when you get to a point in time in your life where you understand certain things about certain things, since you're spirit first, you have to be born again. Why? Because that spiritual process is greater than the natural process. But it is from a spiritual perspective. And the spiritual in this case, in all cases, is greater or higher than the natural. We wouldn't call it supernatural if it was higher than, if it wasn't higher. Not superior to, although we could say that, but the way we use those terms, we can't understand them in the right way. So I have tried to avoid using that term, but it's super. Supernatural, more than natural, above natural, creating natural. The natural flows from the supernatural. We talk about manifestation. What do we say? Something that is not seen is now seen. The not seen part is spiritual. It's not, you know. It doesn't have to be paranormal as we think about, you know, all of these things. And everything we do that we consider to be paranormal is extreme. It's extreme in some sense. It doesn't speak to the practicality of who we become as humans, so that we may, at some point in our transition, right, once again, be part of the family of God and even have the manifestation of the kingdom of God in and through us while we are in the earth, on the earth. Earth is the planet, the world is the people. Earth is the planet, the world is the people. So when we talk about these things, you know, we want to tie it to certain principles and values that really we made up. When God has said, look, this is how this thing works. This is what's going on. I need you to understand this. I have already judged sin. That's what he's saying. He said, you're still born into it, but I have already judged it. Make that differentiation. We're getting to grace, but I have to lay this foundation. How did he judge sin? He says mercy triumphs over judgment. Where's mercy? In Christ. Mercy is in Christ. What Abraham had to do with his own son is what God did with his own son before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before humanity existed. Christ, by way of the Father by way of Jesus Christ, made a way for humans that would be born into this condition, seriously in need of healing. Because of the spiritual principles, not because you look a certain way, not because you were born into a certain situation or circumstance. It is what I call the chronic condition of all humanity. We are the ones that want to make it something that it's not. Everybody's got it. Everybody got sin, just manifests in different ways. So he says, mercy triumphs over judgment. He never says judgment went away. So then in order for us to receive the mercy of God, which we receive, by the way, whether we accept God or not, because he says, my mercy is new every morning. That's a principle. We can't change that. So every day starts with a morning, not a night. Every day starts with a morning. And every morning starts with mercy. Or comes with mercy. He says, my mercy triumphs over judgment, and my mercy is new every morning. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Why? Because of what I call the master covenant between the Father and the Son, between God and his only begotten Son, Father, who we now call Abba, and Jesus Christ, who we now call Savior of the world. Planet is Earth. The world is the people, so Savior of all people, based on spiritual things, not based on our opinions, not based on our misguided whatevers. We're talking spiritual principles. Pivoting out of cursing into blessing requires us understanding these things. So mercy triumphs over judgment because Jesus Christ is the vessel of mercy. He is the catalyst for mercy. He is the reason that mercy exists. If he hadn't agreed to be the sacrifice for sin, to atone for sin before the Father on our behalf, then judgment would just exist. And anything that had sin, judgment is the process by which God purifies. Think of it that way. He's not saying you're a bad person. He's after the sin, not after you. He loves you. He wants us to be free from sin. That's called deliverance. For us, we think about, I am who I am, I'm living my best life, but we can't live our best lives because we are not the originators of life. We can make a great go of it, and many people do, but that does not supersede the supernatural. God is faithful who promised. He says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Not a version of freedom, which, trust me, I'm grateful for. I live in a place where, for the most part, we have freedom. So, he's making the point to all of us. I don't care how free you think you are. Whom my Son, he says, the Son, my Son has set free is free indeed. He is talking about the liberty of being delivered that comes as a result of being delivered out of the sin that he, Jesus, died to free us from. It really is simple. We make it complicated because we have opinions, our opinions, my opinions, your opinions, our collective opinions, individual opinions, don't change what I'm telling you. And we all, in some way, have to, we will come to that realization, regardless of what side we end up on, believing or not believing, following or not following, being led of Spirit, Holy Spirit, or not being led of Holy Spirit, all of us are going to find that out. So he says, mercy triumphs over judgment. He never says, so Jesus is the intermediary. Because he was judged instead of each one of us being judged. So that means we're going to have accountability no matter what. There will be justice no matter what. Truth will rise no matter what. Love will rise no matter what, unconditional love, agape. He's telling us, though, okay, this is the process. If you truly want to be delivered out of this thing that I have told you exists and that you were born into, then these are the things you have to do. No one else can do this for you, and no one else is going to offer to do it for you. Then he provided himself. So the Father provided himself in creation. Jesus Christ, we see, who is always with the Father, but we see him in manifestation and demonstration, came to show us this is what it looks like. This is what liberty, this is what grace and love and peace and joy, wholeness and restoration and healing. That's what all of those miracles are about. That's what all of Jesus' parables are about. This is how it looks. I'm here to show you what it looks like. Okay, so now we've got judgment. We've got mercy. With mercy, then, so mercy is the buffer for judgment. It gives us the opportunity to walk in grace. What is grace? Well, one, as Paul said, it's not a license to sin. So grace is not the opportunity to continue to walk in what Jesus, by virtue of his own crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, by virtue of the deliverance that he provided, I am the way. That's why he says this. He's not, we're so crazy. He says, we think he's making an egotistical statement. He's saying, I'm the way out of this. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. All of these things come if you just follow me. I'm going to walk you up out of being seriously in need of healing. And as you walk with me, if you trust me, if you believe in me, I will reward your faith. If you agree to be led, agree, mind you. He didn't say you must. Because God the Father created us with free choice, and he's not going to violate himself. So you want to talk about choices, then talk about the ones you're making that are contributing to circumstances in your life and or in others' lives that may be making things worse. Don't get me wrong, just like there's natural genealogy, there is spiritual genealogy. So some things are conveyed. The difference is whether we can tell the difference between what we're supposed to keep and what we're supposed to turn over to the Lord for our own deliverance. So he says, I didn't give you grace. So mercy is new every morning, and in each day there's grace. Grace is a spiritual principle. It's not for you to throw around because you can't live up to what you're supposed to be doing. I need grace. You don't have to ask for grace. Grace is a principle. It is always present. Grace is not a license to sin, nor is it a tool for you to manipulate people because you cannot do what you said you were going to do. All you have to do is say, you know what? I can't do that. You don't have to ask for grace. Grace exists. But it does not exist for us to perpetuate thought processes, paradigms, cycles of life, cycles of living, what I call life here. It's not for us to perpetuate things that Christ gave his life to deliver us out of. That's why Paul says it's not a license to sin. What in the world? So God the Father provided Jesus Christ so that he would be the intermediary on our behalf. All we have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, then be led of the Spirit, and all he did all of that so we can continue in our way? That's why Jesus Christ says, no, I'm the way. He's stating a fact. If you want to be delivered, if you want to experience healing, if you want to break generational curses, all of those things we claim we want, then he says, you got to follow me because I'm walking you up out of this by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that is in Christ, by the way. I am here to bring you life, to show you what this looks like, to bring you true deliverance, to bring you true healing, to bring you true unconditional love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life. The way, the truth, the life, the absolute nature of Christ is because of the absolute nature of the Godhead, not to our detriment, but to our elevation, to our edification. Out of being seriously in need of healing, being woefully pitiful and pathetic in some ways because we have chosen that. We don't understand. That is not a bad thing. He saw our state. He knows everything from the beginning to the end and back and everything in between. So he saw our woeful state before he allowed us to be manifested in the earth. He made provision for it, and then he now says, okay, here I am. I've already made provision for this. What are you going to choose? Judgment exists. It is buffered by mercy. It is held off by mercy. Judgment, Father, Christ, who is a co-judge, by the way, with the Father by the power of the Spirit. But his role right now is mercy, is mediation, is being the intermediary. And then we have Holy Spirit across the board who now has also been given to us for our transformation. You know what? I don't want to walk in sin anymore. I don't want this sin thing. I want my crooked places straight. The problem for many of us will be we will still take this personally, but he's already told us it's not personal. It's for everybody. The problem for us is we want to call out everybody else's, but we've got like a whole storage unit full of skeletons of our own that we think nobody knows about. God knows about it. That's why he says whatever's done in private or whatever's done in secret is going to be revealed. He knows. He not only knows where your prayer closet is, he knows where your skeleton closet is. So don't play. These are spiritual principles that we are not able to touch. But we have access to the Father by the Spirit through the Son. That allows us, once we agree to be adopted into the family, we can then say, Abba, Father, our Father who art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer was prophetic. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. It was prophetic. He was telling what is going to happen. And he was saying, once you get to this place, this is what this is how you'll be praying. Not those exact words, but again, he's conveying principles. Nothing exists without a principle. Even if the principle is foul, even if the principle is off base, everything we do has a principle behind it. Doesn't say that those principles are eternal. It doesn't say they even make any sense. But if we're going to understand and truly pivot out of cursing into blessing, we have to understand the principles of God. When we understand the principles of God, we can get a glimpse, a better glimpse of who he is. That doesn't mean we know him, because the more you seek him, the more you find him. What's the song? So wide you can't get around him. So low you can't get under him. So high you can't get over him. You got to go through the door. Who's the door? Jesus. Who's knocking at the door? Jesus. We choose that. We choose him every day, every moment if necessary, if we're in a wrestling, if we're in a place of being tempted or whatever the situation might be. We do some horrible things to each other, but I'm here to encourage and to challenge us to do better. Because if you're listening today, you're accountable. Now that you've heard it, whatever you hear from me or anybody else, I'm not saying I'm the way by any stretch. By any stretch, I am sharing what has been revealed to me through my experiences, through my process, through my walk, through my sometimes horrible decision making. And maybe I didn't know that at the time, but I know it now. But that was part of my process. It wasn't a character flaw. Character flaw is when you take something that you know is wrong. We all have them. Okay, that's part of sin, being seriously in need of healing. But character flaw is when you take something and you know, you come to the revelation that it's wrong, or you've been told that it's wrong multiple times, not as an attack, but then you realize you can benefit from that, or you don't want to do the deep work to change it. So then that becomes a deeper character flaw, because you're choosing that thing. We're all making choices all the time. So even if someone asks you to make a decision and you don't make a decision, you made a decision. Don't ever think you're not making choices. The faculty of our free choice is always active. Whether it's in, okay, I'm going to make this decision now, or I'm going to wait, or I'm going to make a decision, but I'm not going to tell them I'm going to make a decision, or I'm going to procrastinate, or I'm going to do it this way, I'm going to say that I'm going to do it this way, but I'm really going to do all of that is free choice in action. And so our role and our goal is to align, use our repentance, our humility, humble ourselves, repent, turn from our evil ways, seek the face of God, and then our choices will begin to align with his principles. That is what brings about deliverance, not because we're doing it, but because we chose to agree. Two cannot walk together except they agree. So you can talk about Jesus all you want. You can go to church all you want. If you're not choosing to align your life and you have these patterns that continue in your life forever, that means that you're not fully committed, that you haven't bought into the whole thing, because it requires surrender. It requires us being a living sacrifices, meaning that spirit of flesh should always be on the altar. Hide should always be burning. I call it a BBQ, right? I want to go one way, but I know the Lord is pulling me another. And I know that the way that the Lord is pulling me is the best way, but for some reason, I'm still fighting this thing over here. It could be great or small in our minds. We are not supposed to be rating all of that. We're supposed to be walking through and focusing on the fact that, who do I believe? Whose report will I believe? Will I believe the report of the Lord, or will I believe the report of the other? What is my goal? Is my goal to seek the Lord while he may be found? Because the fact of the matter is, we're all going to face that moment of transition. And everybody wants to hear, well done. But some of us, he has told us, will say, to some of us, he'll say, well, but he will honor our choices. Everybody needs to be clear about this. We think that God is doing something to create and put us in these situations. The only thing that God has ever done, the thing that is eternal, is he has loved us enough to give us his life. And then he said, but I want you to choose. Now, in regular relationships, in natural relationships, are we that good? No, not even close. We want to force people into doing what we want them to do. That's not love. That's manipulation. That's control. That's all of those things that God did not, that no, he doesn't have anything to do with that. He also loves us enough to allow us to live by those choices. So that's why Paul says, grace is not a license to sin. You can choose to continue doing that, but you are misusing grace, and you're still going to be held accountable. Even though, and as I close out today, even though, be very clear, that even though God continues to allow something, because that's what we keep choosing, it doesn't mean he's not going to hold us accountable. Either he's going to hold us accountable. And even is, to the extent that we don't repent, we bear the weight of our own sin. I need you to think about that concept. Because right now we're under grace. But even if grace, the grace doesn't lift from the planet or the people, earth is the planet, the world is the people, at some point we transition. And there's no grace there because grace was for here. Grace was for us to get it together. Grace was for us to agree. Grace was for us to decide that we wanted to be with God. Grace was for us to decide that we didn't want these patterns in our lives that didn't bring life to ourselves, our families, our friends, our loved ones, and others, that in us, through our part of our process, God, by his Spirit, couldn't use us to bless all is all, of the families of the earth. Grace is not a license. Grace is part of the process that is allowed to us for transformation. So every choice we make, we will be held accountable for. God's done his part. He's provided himself the whole way. What the choice that we have to make is whether or not we're going to follow him, the way, the truth, and the life. My name is Michelle. I bless you and yours. I agape you. I thank you. I'm grateful for you. I challenge you and encourage you to decide. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Will it be God, or will it be the spirit of flesh, the spirit of man, humans? That choice is and will always be yours. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.